Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Japan has developed a new anti-aging vaccine, which I'm curious to hear about because I have this kind of issue with aging. I don't like the idea of it. One of the issues that I always had with continuing to smoke was that through most of my life, you know, you realize as a smoker that you're going to die of smoking. But you just sort of had this expectation that one day it's just going to kill you, but it's not. It's just this slow, gradual, awful descent from being not from having to take the elevator because you can't take stairs and not being able to go on long walks. And then finally, it kills you. And to me, that's what aging really is. It's just a slower version of that, where your body just becomes more, less and less useful and more in pain. And then finally, it's over.
Mm-hmm. The show is starting off on a very positive note.
Well, there is good news, though. I mean, the good news is that, you know, they have this anti-aging vaccine, right? So now we can keep people from aging. So all the more reason not to have kids, I guess. I can just live forever, presumably.
And look young forever.
That's not a downside, in my opinion.
Mark wanted to freeze his brain, right, so it can be put into a young person's body or whatever.
I don't know what strain of COVID-19 I had back in, I think, late March after the FBI raid on the studios and on my house. I had some kind of strain because I couldn't smell or taste for like 7 weeks afterward. So there was no doubt it was COVID, but I don't know if it was the original COVID or COVID part two or COVID part three. And I don't really care because I got over it just fine. It didn't kill me. It was annoying for a long period of time. But as far as the actual being sick goes, that list lasted about a day. And that wasn't even that bad. It was just being very tired and very sore, which wasn't terribly unusual anyway for someone who just got raided by the FBI 2 weeks prior on their only day off for the first time in about 3 months. So being tired and sore in those circumstances, kind of understandable anyway. But Britain's Omicron wave may be no worse than a flu pandemic, says an expert, as the first major study into the new variant suggests it is less severe than Delta.
Maybe people are just less stressed out about it because I've heard that stress levels have been causing all kinds of issues more than they ever have during the whole pandemic. And like a dentist would tell you that they get more problems with people grinding their teeth.
Because of stress?
That's what one of our friends dentist told them.
I wouldn't at all be surprised. From what I can tell, people just have tuned out COVID-19. The more regulated things get, the more government can steal from you and hand out to their corrupt cronies. And that's exactly what we're seeing today with this COVID-19 nonsense. It is the biggest boon to the pharmaceutical industry, to big pharma, that we have ever seen in world history. I would speculate there's probably been nothing like this, where so much money was stolen and filtered away to three massive pharmaceutical companies, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, and Moderna. They are making record profits, and something like 50% of their profits at this point are from the vaccine.
Oh my God.
And a lot of people out there don't get that, though. But the vaccine's free. No, it's not. The government's taxing you and inflating the currency, and they're paying that money to Pfizer and Moderna and Johnson & Johnson. Those three companies, what do you think they are? Charities? Right. They're not giving this stuff away. They're selling it. And it's the governments who are paying the bill, and just billions upon billions of dollars being filtered away to big pharma. And you know, I just can't help but think about how in 2017, 2016, if you went online and searched for big pharma scandals or Johnson & Johnson scandals, they were everywhere about how corrupt the FDA was, how it was rushing these drugs out and those drugs out, and how this drug was being recalled.
The judge in this circumstance of Rich, Andy, and all these people approved
myself included,
what are likely...
By the way.
Yep, you probably have some provisions too that I'm not entirely sure of. They have these provisions that very likely are completely unconstitutional. I mean, in a world where there's a freedom of speech, they released Rich Paul, who was doing interviews and that sort of thing.
From jail.
from jail and told him, you can get out, but you're not allowed to talk to anybody. Now, that just sounds like a violation of the First Amendment to me. Now, I'm a layman, and it hasn't been litigated. I'd be very curious about it, but, you know, don't expect a judge to just, you know, blow the whistle and say, unconstitutional play on the field. Like, they don't do that.
I don't. Do people really
That's
believe that
job.
They do that?
Well, they
yes.
do that if you're...
100%.
Well, the judge doesn't... I can't comment on the bail conditions of my co-defendants too much, but the judge doesn't go out of his way to look for things that are unconstitutional. But if an attorney points out to him by filing something that says, hey, this is unconstitutional, the judge will listen to that and then make a decision about whether or not, in the judge's opinion, what is happening is or isn't constitutional.
What I thought I'd do tonight is call in and talk about what the Free State Project is good for, because I have called in over and over again and critiqued the Free State Project, and I don't want it to seem like I am saying that the Free State Project or the Great New Hampshire Freedom Migration or whatever terminology we want to use is all bad. It is not all bad.
Is it true you've been trolling the Free State Project on Instagram?
Yeah, I'll hit him on Insta, absolutely. Here's the problem.
That's high quality activism there.
Well, I got nothing better to do.
Okay.
I mean,
fair point. You can't do radio, so.
The problem is with these with many free staters is that they're the man with the hammer, the proverbial hammer. So everything looks like a nail. And I posit and suggest that no, in fact, every person you meet should not move to New Hampshire, right?
Well, obviously, right? A lot of
excellent. We're on the same page.
Yeah, well, a lot of
we believe the same things.
Well, the Free State Project's goal was to move liberty lovers to New Hampshire, not every random person you meet on the sidewalk.
Perfect. So what percentage of the population would you define as liberty lovers? Are we talking about the 20% that say, yeah, I'm libertarian, and
oh,
they show up
on no. No, it's more like 1% to 3%, I would speculate.
What they're not doing is checking New Hampshire against the places that are moving up against in the world as far as these states. So, you know, what we're doing is walking into the cancer ward and saying, this one looks like the best cancer patient here. It's not good news.
I mean, I don't disagree, but when all you have are cancer patients, at a certain point, you do have to pick the one that looks like they're not falling apart and go, that's the one we're going to try to fix.
Indeed.
Do you have a cancer patient out there that looks more fixable than what the Free State Project has presented?
I will absolutely say that simply moving out of the United States, setting up your life so you make money online, living in, you know, just moving around from country to country, being a perpetual traveler is by and large a freer way to live.
Yes. And for people who bought Bitcoin in 2011, that's probably a realistic course of action for their life to take.
Right now, America got rid of, I mean, like a lot of people in America can work remotely that couldn't 2 years ago. And if
yes,
they
but
can,
the average American is living paycheck to paycheck and drowning in, I think it was something like $150,000 in debt.
Then they sell their house because that's debt. They pay off their debt. Let's talk about who the Free State Project is right for. And maybe you can help me identify other groups that it is a good choice for, because I know it's a good choice for a lot of people. So, first group of people is, I would say, if you are from the United States and a liberty-oriented person who wants to get elected, that the New Hampshire is a really great choice for you, because you're like, you know, 2 years in, you can get elected as a rep, and immediately you can likely get a rep elected as pretty much anything, because, you know, the vast, like in New Hampshire, like pretty much everywhere, people don't have any clue who they're voting for. And
oh, don't
so
I know
they
it.
Vote. And you, Aria, ran as a Satanist, trans, God knows what else, and got on the Republican side, 20+%, nearly 30% of the vote in the general election.
Yeah, I never redid the math. I mean, Westmoreland reported something like 7,700 votes for Eli Rivera, which is obviously like five times the actual population of Westmoreland. So
yeah, there was a zero added. It was a 700. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you take those out, I never did the math to find out what the actual percentage was, but it's probably 26 to 30%, somewhere in that range. Yeah. I didn't come to New Hampshire because I wanted to run for elections. That's just what people do when they get here.
All right. So I got a third category. All right. You're a pugnacious individual and you just want to fight with statists.
Googling,
I think there's a lot of people left out of who could be useful here.
Yeah, I don't just want to fight with statists.
Whoa, Lori. Lori, I'm sorry. Yep. I don't care who's useful to the Free State Project. That is utilitarian, statist, collectivist thinking.
Yes. Okay. I don't mean just useful to the Free State Project. I mean useful to each other to make a freer place to live.
I'm not interested in building a community. I'm interested in providing people with information about the best place where they can be most free and the decisions that might lead to that. Because that's a
I understand where you're coming from, Mark.
To be free, we individualists have to stop playing the games of these other people.
Just
and
because
that's what we're doing in New Hampshire.
Mark,
we're
getting
there and we're getting on their hamster wheel and we're playing their political games.
I think you've gone too far into individualism in that aspect. I mean, I understand where you're coming from. You want to be free in your life right now. You don't want to have to fight for it. You just want to be free. That's it. That's not for everybody, though.
I was just listening to that last call, and I heard that person call and say that he's not trying to build a community. And none of you guys really kind of laid into him on that one because, I mean, look, to me, that's one of the biggest attractions here. The Free State Project movers have had tremendous political successes with dozens of free staters who've been elected to the state house in the current term and previous terms. There's been plenty as well. And we've seen amazing, you know, civil disobedience and outside the system activism here that's never been done in the history of the libertarian movement anywhere. I mean, there's no doubt that politically and apolitically, the libertarians in New Hampshire who moved here for the Free State Project and for this political migration have been more successful in 15 years than the Libertarian Party nationally has in the last 50. But just all of those wins aside, one of the biggest wins here is the community of liberty-minded people, which is literally thousands of people. There were images posted of the Taproom Tuesday event, which is a weekly just kind of social hangout that happens in Manchester, which is the quote-unquote big city of 120,000 people. And in that city, they're regularly getting more than 50 attendees. They said there were 70 people that were attending that particular event.
The whole point of a community is having people around you that all care for the same purpose and are working towards the same goals, and having people that are there that share your views to educate your children, to sell you your groceries, to grow the food that those grocers are selling, to run all the different things in town. Everyone has a purpose, and if all the people together that move here have the same purpose, then you can create a society and a community that is basically utopia.
What about you, Bonnie?
Well, I mean, it's never going to be utopia because there's always going to be issues and challenges. But if you've got a good community, you can overcome that stuff. So, I mean, that's obviously not important to Mark. And I mean, let's be clear. What's important to him is not what's important to a lot of the people that moved here. And the fact is, the only reason Mark ever moved to New Hampshire is because I moved Free Talk Live there. And he never would have come here if it weren't for him being on the radio. And he wanted to continue being on the radio. So he never would have moved here because, to him, staying warm and staying with his mom are two really important things.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, I think it's weird that I wanted to say this to him, but the call just kind of ended. I think it's weird that he thinks there's just like, what, 10 states that would even be comparable to moving to New Hampshire, because like Tennessee is in the south and it still has a pretty bad winter. When we moved there, we were like climbing up a hill to get to our house of snow and ice.
I want to call her a friend of mine, but I don't believe I've ever even actually met this person. She's a libertarian. I don't even know where she lives now that I think about it. So I've almost certainly never met her, but her house burned down. And that night, there were libertarians out there helping her. I think her keys burned up in the house as well. So they helped her get to a hotel room. And she's since got a new place that she's renting. And a lot of help from the libertarian community that happened that night while her house was actively burning down. It's an incredible level of community here that you just don't see anywhere else. It's sort of like... And I hate saying this, because one of my biggest criticisms of the Free State Project is this cult-like mannerism that it has, where they all say, welcome home, when you talk about moving here or that you have moved here. And I got to tell you, I find that cringy and creepy, and I really wish they would stop doing it.
Well, I liked when Derek J. said to me, welcome to the Free State. I felt like, oh, welcome, without it being creepy.
I like that approach a lot better. I could certainly get on board with that, but... the way it's said isn't just, oh, well, welcome home. It's always like a blank, loving, cult-like sound. Libertarianism is a belief system. It's a very loose, very uncodified political system where basically it's just don't aggress against people and don't take their stuff. But it's still just a religious belief. So we do have a strong community here. And the closest parallel I can think of is your church community or your mosque community or your synagogue community, or your Buddhist temple or monastery or whatever.
Only in a religious community, there's a lot more things for somebody to have a belief in that the other person doesn't, and it's a huge disagreement. In libertarians, it's just like, oh, they want to do it like that. But as long as we have the one thing that we still agree on, which is you don't mess with me and I don't mess with you, then there's not like a big reason to be not part of the same community. Like if you're a Christian that believes in the Holy Spirit being inside somebody and somebody else is a Christian who doesn't believe in that part, you basically are two different things.
Right. And that's ultimately because Christianity, all of these other religions, they're not built from the foundation that it's wrong to aggress against people, right? Within the confines of their religion, if you feel what someone is doing is wrong and they profess to be following the same religion as you are, then they're sinning and they should be punished. That's one of the things that I liked about Tom Gray, who used to do the Call to Freedom with me so much, is like, a lot of Christians want to criticize me and my lifestyle, but they don't have the right to do that because I'm not professing to be following their code, their laws, or whatever. The data from South Africa, which was compiled by Discovery Health, which is not the cable station Discovery Health. Isn't there a Discovery Health? It seems like there would be a station called Discovery Health.
There is, yeah.
Its largest private health insurer, that's who Discovery Health is in South Africa, they found that although there were high numbers of breakthrough infections in people who had been vaccinated, breakthrough infections, by the way, Lori, you have a story about that. You're not even allowed to talk about them on Twitter anymore. People who have been vaccinated are staying in the hospital just 2.5 days. That there are so many variables there, again, about a person's natural immunity, their body's ability to fight off a virus, that vaccinated or not. It's absolutely silly. The study also showed that the odds of reinfection were lower than during Delta, suggesting that people who had a Delta infection may be better protected. I don't understand that at all.
It didn't say how long unvaccinated people are in the hospital.
It certainly did not.
No.
Well, I imagine a lot of...
maybe it's 3 days. Maybe it's 1.5 days.
Well, most people in South Africa aren't vaccinated, right? It has a relatively low vaccination rate. And if the Omicron variant is spreading as fast as they say, the majority of people who get it can't be being hospitalized in the first place.
I would think not.
So a lot of them are probably just getting sick for a day or two and then going about their lives. One of the things I saw recently is that the symptoms caused by the Omicron variant are different and that you don't lose your sense of smell or taste. I don't know how true that is, but at least one study said that, or at least one doctor said that. So if they just have the sniffles for a few days, or if they're just randomly tired for a day or two, why would they even go to get tested? That's not one of the COVID-19 symptoms.
Right. It sounds like a cold.
It's absolutely just a cold.
You know, and they say some people are dying from it. Some people die from paper cuts.
And Laura, you brought in a study about an anti-aging vaccine. I've seen things similar to this floating around in the news for the last several years, that they found a new way of slowing agency or slowing aging or halting aging, but I've never really paid any attention to it. But you have a story about this, so let's get into that.
All right. This is from the Japan Times, and it says, Japanese scientists develop vaccine to eliminate cells behind aging. A Japanese research team said that it developed a vaccine to remove so-called zombie cells that accumulate with age and damage nearby cells, causing aging-related diseases, including arterial stiffening. The team, including...
If I'm understanding correctly, these zombie cells are just sort of a body's built-in self-destruct mechanism that builds up and eventually just kills us?
Yeah, so your cells die and new cells regenerate, but the cells that die don't go anywhere. They just kind of sit there, accumulating. So the team, including Jutendo University professor Toru Minamino, confirmed that mice administered with the vaccine showed decreases in zombie cells, medically known as senescent cells, and in areas affected by arterial stiffening. We can expect that the vaccine will be applied to the treatment of arterial stiffening, diabetes, and other aging-related diseases.
In real terms, the idea that we're going to have any control over how we die is not very likely. We're more likely to die in a car crash or while walking down the street.
That's not really what I meant, though. I mean, like, you are in a place where literally somebody else has a key to your existing or not existing. That's just not okay with me. Like, if it's the universe has the key, that's different. You know, just, I could step into these circumstances today, that's fine. But if it's this person on the outside of a computer controlling me inside of a computer, no.
So I think the whole being in the cloud thing, that's not actually your existence. That's like a replication of your memories and stuff. So you wouldn't really be there. But if you were a cyborg with your brain in that indestructible body, then you're controlling that. I'm down for being a cyborg. I don't want to be uploaded to the cloud, though.
I wouldn't mind being uploaded to the cloud if they, like, gave me stuff to do, right?
Well, you wouldn't be there. You wouldn't actually be sentient. It's like a replication of you.
Well, we don't... It may be sentient. I mean, we don't really know.
We don't know what we are. Like, right. We don't know what makes us sentient, so how could we upload that?
But I just know it's not this physical body, and I just know it's something beyond that, and I'd rather just die and move on from this body than be, like, grasping to stay in this body forever with these shots and, you know, look the same. I'd rather just get old and everybody leave me alone.
Hey Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
My existence to them is just a giant black stain on them that they're torn about. Like, my father was remarking about this to my sisters. Like, I want to be proud and I want to tell people about this, but I can't because she's trans. So the troll in me loves how proud he is and yet how simultaneously ashamed he is. So I would love to throw that in his face and just argue politics in him, tell him he's wrong and stupid. And here are the long list of reasons why that is. But my family's never been one to talk politics during the holidays. Religion is more likely to come up during the holidays than politics.
If we're libertarians, we secede. It's going to happen, man. Okay,
it may happen here in New Hampshire.
I'm a grandfather.
Yeah,
interrupt you, but my grandchildren are going to see this. There's going to you got the Bill of Rights, you got this stuff. Yeah. Okay, people who don't believe it, go. All right, and I'm not going to see it, man, because I got lung cancer. But I'll tell you something else, man.
Van, you may see it sooner than you think, because New Hampshire has already put forward legislation in the House of Representatives that it would put on the ballot the question of whether or not New Hampshire should or is peaceably declaring independence from the United States government. And we don't even have a hearing date for that yet, but it's probably going to be in the next few months. And we could actually see that put on the ballot, and we don't know what will happen after that. So it could be something, Van, that you see in your lifetime. Go ahead.
Oh, no, what I see in my lifetime, no, it's going to happen. I'm an old dude. I'm 60 years old, okay? I just see it in my grandkids' life.
We're talking about political polarization here, and I think the United States has already passed the point, what they're describing as a tipping point. Evidently, their study, let's get further into it, their findings reveal that at this point, this is the tipping point. Extreme polarization becomes irreversible. The team's predictive model for measuring the behavior like of a polarized political group like the U.S. Senate shows that even an attack by a foreign power or, quote, another pandemic would not heal the political divide. And this is why I think we've already reached that point. The person who led this study says, instead of uniting against a common threat, the threat itself becomes yet another polarizing issue. Well, that sounds exactly like the pandemic that we just had, which has been a political issue, a polarizing political issue from the start. Republicans and Democrats didn't unite against COVID-19. They just fought about it. So I think we're probably already past that point, and the authors here just didn't realize that. We found that polarization increases incrementally only up to a point. The author adds, above this point, there's a sudden change in the very fabric of the institution, like the change from water to steam when the temperature exceeds the boiling point.
I think COVID-19 proved that even with something that's not a huge threat, the left will decide that if you don't listen to what the government says, that you should be basically put to death.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.